Welcome to the October 2023 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Roll call.
Yes. Councilmember Olstead?
Here.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember Francis?
Mike Francis, you're on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Here.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yeah, here.
Councilmember Van Ebs?
Here.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Here.
And Councilmember Voden?
Here.
And Chairman Richko?
Here. Also on the phone, I think we have Thomas Hull from the GAU office. Tom, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And Jason Kane from the DAG's office. Jason, are you on?
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Open Public Meetings Act?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. This meeting is being conducted at the Highlands Council office located at 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. The participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up until close of business on Friday, October 20th, 2023.
Thank you, Karen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today we are changing around our agenda a little bit from our normal, as you can see from the attire that our council member Olstead has on. He has to attend a function later on, so we're going to get the normal business over with before we have the chair's report and the executive director's report.
And I will be calling in, so I'll still be able to participate during my commute.
Thank you very much
for the accommodation, everybody.
All right, we have approval of the Highlands Council meeting minutes of September 21st, 2023. We need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Moved by Councilmember James and second by Councilmember Holtaway. Any discussion? Seeing none, please poll.
Okay. Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Ebs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
And Chairman Richko?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay, now we have the approval of the Highlands Council executive session minutes of September 21st, 2023. Need a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Vizioli, second by Councilmember Holtaway. Any discussion? Hearing none, please poll.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Ebs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
And Chairman Richko?
Yes. We move on to the Budget and Finance Committee. We have a number of resolutions, so I'll turn it over to Councilmember Holtaway, who's the chair of the Budget and Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first resolution is the approval of the fiscal year 2024 Highlands General Operating Budget. The Council's proposed budget is projected to be at $2,988,092. The Council received $2,429,000 in state appropriation with a carryover bank balance of $554,092. And miscellaneous revenue is projected at $5,000. It is unlikely that the Council will have any significant carryover to close of 2024. All expended all unexpended fiscal year 23 salary funds held by the Department of the Treasury were returned to the council, which creates the carryover. The IT budget was increased by about $25,000 due to the increased cost for required Microsoft licensing. There is an urgent need for the council to request an increase in state appropriations for day-to-day operations in fiscal year 2025, as well as funding for four additional full-time positions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we need a motion and a second on this resolution.
I'll move that, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Holtaway, seconded by?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Councilmember Van Abs. Discussion? Hearing no discussion from the council, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone from the audience like to comment on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember
yes.
Francis?
No.
Okay. Councilmember Dressler has joined us. He said yes.
Okay, Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sepetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
And Chairman Richco?
Yes. Motion passes. We move on to the next resolution.
The second resolution is the adoption of the Highlands Council fiscal year 2024 Protection Fund Capital Budget. The Highlands FY 24 Protection Fund Capital Budget is an estimate of potential expenditures between the dates of July 1st, 2023 and June 30th of 2024 based on the need to facilitate Highlands Municipal and County conformance with the Regional Master Plan. Mr. August met with the council, Highlands Council staff and estimated a budget using reappropriations funds totaling $2,182,352 for the new plan conformance initiatives. The total estimated need is $1,877,352 for grants ranging from $15,000 to $150,000 needed to supplement DEP funding for MS4 stormwater permit compliance assistance, and I will move that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, moved by Councilmember Holtaway, seconded by Councilmember.
I'll second.
James, and any discussion from the council? Hearing none. This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Hearing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
And Councilmember Holtaway? Excuse me. Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sepetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
And Chairman Richco?
Yes. Move on to the third resolution for budget and finance.
The next resolution includes recommendations for six grants totaling $475,000. All grants are reimbursement based with final budget amounts determined by approved scopes of work. First is Vernon Township. Sussex County is requesting a grant to update their master plan land use element in the amount of $65,000. The township completed a comprehensive master plan in 1995 with reexamination reports taking place several times between 2012 and 2022. This master plan update will include a climate change hazard vulnerability assessment referencing Highlands Council and New Jersey DEP guidance and resources. Number two is Jefferson Township in Morris County is requesting a grant to develop a sustainable economic development plan in the amount of $60,000. Jefferson Township plans to explore methods of promoting economic development in the township, which is mostly in the Highlands Preservation Area. The plan will focus on the township's existing commercial and developed areas and its historic communities. The plan will include a market analysis and an implementation schedule. Number three is Rockaway Township, also in Morris County, is requesting a local zoning, local control grant in the amount of $10,000 to determine the potential impacts of warehouse development. The township is requesting additional funding over the standard $5,000 due to the size and scale of the township's current industrial districts, as well as the presence of the regional mall. Next is Holland Township in Hunterdon County is requesting a grant for an open space and recreation plan in the amount of $40,000. The township's last update was done in 2007. In Holland Township's 2020 master plan reexamination, it was recommended to update this plan so the township can continue to qualify for NJDEP Green Acres Planning and Incentive Grant Funding. Hunterdon County, next, Hunter County is requesting a grant for an economic development planning in the amount of $150,000. This grant request will continue Hunter County's efforts to implement aspects of the Highlands Economic Sustainability Plan. The county will contract with a qualified and innovative marketing and promotional service provider to collaborate on promoting the Explore Hunterdon, the Other Side of Jersey tourism brand. The funding will be used to develop a comprehensive package of services that include traditional print media, online advertising, social media planning and implementation, press and influencer engagement, website updates, and design and creation of promotional materials. I'd like to move that, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Holtaway, seconded by Councilmember Mazzioli. Discussion on this resolution?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to note for the record that my family and I own a business in Jefferson Township. I consulted with the ethics liaison officer, and my participation in this vote does not constitute any conflict.
Mr. Chairman, oh, sorry, Mr. Mazzioli.
Mr. You
have?
You said?
Sorry. Corey, there's one more grant on the resolution that just Corey needs to address.
Sorry.
Yes.
At this time, Corey Pasecki will provide a report on the Oxford Township Warren County grant and review an overview of the sustainable agricultural grant process.
Thank you, Member Holdaway. So, roughly 2 years ago, the Highlands Council created the Agricultural Advisory Committee, which Member Alstead is the chair, were made up of a diverse group of agricultural professionals. And the committee first met identifying the needs of the agricultural community and where the Highlands could be most effective in ensuring the economic viability of the industry. One of those needs was the establishment of grant programs that would meet the needs of Highlands farmers while filling in the gaps that the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, and others don't. In July of this year, staff released a sustainable agricultural grant opportunity. While an anticipated demand for approximately $300,000, we received more than $600,000 worth of applications. Proposals came from City Green, Food Shed Alliance, Northeast Organic Farming Association, North Jersey RC&D, Ramapo Lenape Nation, and Northwest Food Processing, each for approximately the maximum award amount of $100,000. So we had approximately $600,000 worth of good, viable projects and only $300,000 worth of funding set aside. The first thing we did was we referenced the applications to the USDA to see if there were any of those programs that they could take on. Unfortunately, there wasn't a fit, hence the creation of our own grant program. We then took a look at all of the projects ongoing in our general pipeline for this year and identified some additional funding that could be brought in. And lastly, perhaps most importantly, we asked our partners in Oxford Township if they would take on the redevelopment of the Covanta site for the Northwest Food Processing Facility through a plan conformance task. That allowed us to ask the remaining applicants for a small 5 to 10% reduction to accommodate our budget. So I'm gonna jump ahead in the presentation briefly. I won't go through all the slides now, but to cover the Northwest Food Processing Facility, which is in Oxford Township, Warren County, since that is the matter before you on the plan conformance grants. The Covanta site is a former trash incinerator that is being decommissioned. It has access to water and wastewater allocations, abundant electrical connections, and great access to transportation via Route 31. This project will help facilitate, thank you, the transition of the site from a decommissioned incinerator to a new food processing facility that will create jobs and enhance the agricultural industry through the creation of business and marketing plans, securing the necessary legal structure for acquisition of the property, as well as preliminary building design. That's the Oxford grant. I'll continue with the other grants after.
Yeah. That's the next resolution.
That's the next resolution.
So this Oxford is part of this
plan
resolution?
Yeah.
That's correct. That's why we broke here.
So we do have a motion and a second, and we had no other discussion from the council. All right, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtoway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
And Chairman Richo?
Yes. Motion passes, and we move on to the last resolution, which has to do with sustainable agricultural grants, and turn
yes.
it over to Councilmember Holtoway.
Lastly, Corey will continue his report on the sustainable agricultural grant applications. Okay.
Thank you. So I just want to walk you through the remaining five applications that we received. As I said, we were fortunate to be able to find money in the budget to fund all six applications that we received. I'll begin with City Green. City Green is a nonprofit farming and gardening organization based in Clifton that offers practical, technical, and financial resources to foster equitable access to local food and green spaces in support of sustainable, healthy communities. Their project is located on the South Branch Preserve in Mount Olive. City Green is seeking to expand and accelerate the implementation of regenerative farming practices, provide education to emerging farmers, and strengthen their transportation infrastructure. Next up, we have the Food Shed Alliance. The Food Shed Alliance advocates for sustainable, regenerative agricultural practices that promote human and ecosystem health while achieving a sustainable livelihood for farmers. Through their proposed project, farmers will learn about three major regional wholesale markets: milling, distilling, and malting of high-value grains, the quality parameters required by each one, and the range of prices paid. The project seeks to increase the number and sustainability of farms and agricultural related enterprises through the development of capacity to produce, process, and market value-added grains. And the Northeast Organic Farming Association is proposing a project on Providence Farm in Tewksbury Township. The project, called Operation Diversification, will include a diversity of on-site ecosystems as the farm approaches the restoration of land, with a range of practices that seek to provide demonstrations of replicable projects to otherwise risk-adverse farmers and landowners interested in implementing comprehensive stewardship and conservation practices. And North Jersey RC&D runs the River Friendly Farm Certification Program. It is a comprehensive program that aims to promote sustainable and environmentally friendly practices among all farms. Farms are evaluated based on soil health, nutrient management, pest management, farmstead management, waterway protection, and water conservation. The project will include expanding the program by 24 Highlands farms over 3 years. And lastly, the Ramapo Lenape Nation, located on 40 acres of New Jersey DEP land in the Whittingham Wildlife Management Area. The Ramapo Culture and Land Foundation is aiming to establish a consistent food supply of indigenous crops to support the Turtle Clan food sovereignty. The project will work in coordination with New Jersey DEP to develop organic farming practices in accordance with the policies for leased land in wildlife management areas, which include prohibition of deer fencing, irrigation, and absence of harvesting in important wildlife windows. Those are the five remaining grants, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. We do need a motion and a second on this resolution.
I'll make a motion
by Councilmember Holtaway. We need a second.
Second.
Second by Councilmember Olstead. Any discussion from the council?
I would just like to add, appreciate the effort that Corey and the staff put into establishing these grants, and it's always been a stated objective of the Act as well as the master plan to support economically viable agriculture as one of the means of sustaining economic activity in the region. And each of these applications are going to help achieve a level of opportunity for growers in the future to maintain that economic viability. So I was excited to see these applications, and was equally excited to see how many applications came in. And they're all valuable, and especially the Oxford one, I think that checks off so many boxes in terms of redevelopment, and there's really been a lot of interest in having a regional food processing facility. So so thank you very much.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, a question on the Ramapo Land Foundation. You said that's in the Whittingham Wildlife Management Area?
That is correct.
How could that be? That's open for hunting. How could the two things be? I wonder.
It's a relatively large area. I'm not sure.
I can answer that, Corey. The DEP leases out thousands of acres of wildlife management area for farming purposes throughout the state. So it's actually quite normal for there to be agriculture. It's compatible with their hunting and the wildlife management strategies.
Okay.
They have auctions, and there's a established uniform lease that's used now. And
they also do it on state parkland.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions from the council? Hearing none, we will open this up for, this is a voting matter with public input. So would anyone else from the public like to address the council on this resolution only? Please state your name for the record.
Hi, Ed Wengren, New Jersey Farm Bureau. And just like to echo Member Alstead's comments. These are all sort of important projects and unique. The state is, particularly in the application for the grains for distilling and brewing. We have currently one farm that does malting, and there's a need within the brewing community in the state as that grows for additional malters. And so teaching not only having an organic line, but also more traditional farmers to do these practices is going to be great. And we think the Highlands would be a great region to do it in. So thank you for considering it.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Hearing none, please poll.
Okay. Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty? Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sepetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
And Chairman Richfield?
Yes. And I just would like to thank the staff for all the work they did on getting these grants together. It was great. Okay, we move on now to the chair's report. I do not have a report today, so we'll move on to the executive director's report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just to give you an update on what we've been doing over the last month. Originally, we were going to address the scheduled regional master plan update. As you know, 2024, we're scheduled to revisit the regional master plan, and there's a fairly involved process for making that update. We were going to introduce the policy areas that we were going to address here today The governor's office requested that we give them a briefing on these issues first, which we did earlier this week. And we'll be going back, and at our next meeting, we'll be scheduling a meeting of the RMP committee between now and the December meeting. And we'll be making a formal presentation on the regional master plan on the subjects. You know, we're still a long way, we still have a long way to go before we actually introduce those updates, but you'll be given a presentation at the December meeting. We continue to work on our forestry guidelines. To date, we've conducted over 50 interviews with over 80 hours of discussion. We are close to producing a draft, however, that we're still in the formulation period, but Kelly and Carolyn and Alex from our office are working hard on putting that together. But we're still a little ways off from actually having even a draft to present to the council. That should be, we believe that will be ready by the December meeting as well. We met with the NRCS and the USDA over the last week to discuss matters of both agriculture and forest management, to go over what their requirements are for both land management and for funding. We've identified some funding opportunities for Highlands landowners through those meetings. We've also identified potential funding for some of our projects going forward. One of the things that we anticipate that we'll be doing is making an application to the USDA in their national, highly competitive grant program for a project designed to brand and market agricultural products from the Highlands region as a whole. So we'll be giving you more information on that, but it falls in line with our Sustainable Economic Development Plan, which identified agriculture as a prime economic sector for us to be able to promote. And we believe that doing a project like this will go a long way towards the economic viability of farming and give it real identity to products that are coming out of the Highlands, which there are many. We anticipate having a meeting early next week with Pohatcong and Wapakong townships on their application for center expansion at the old Phillipsburg Mall site. We have a number of issues that we have to work through with them, but that will also require a meeting of the Plan Conformance Committee before it's presented here to the council. We anticipate that would happen either at the December meeting or more likely at the January meeting. We received our documents on the Climate Resilience Plan that's going to be required for all municipalities across the state, including Highlands municipalities from New Jersey Future. We have a few issues with the product that they produce for us. We'll work through those issues with them going forward. We submitted Highlands comments on the Climate Resilience Plan that the state is putting together. Again, we are trying to make sure that the Highlands issues are front and center in that plan, both for the impacts of climate change indigenously to the Highlands. There are certain things that are going to be important to Highland, to our concerns, but there are also issues that the Highlands provides resilience to the remainder of the state, not the least of which is to be able to produce a reliable source of drinking water to over 7 million people, regardless of precipitation or temperature patterns, and we think that that's got to be front and center in any statewide policy document. We are continuing forward with working with our municipalities on stormwater compliance and the new MS4 permit requirements that they're going to face. We've gotten several requests for supplemental funding. DEP makes $25,000 available to each Tier A municipality and $75,000 available to each Tier B municipality that's being transformed into a Tier A municipality. Those are really just starter costs for what these municipalities are going to encounter. We want to be able to provide them both with financial assistance to meet those requirements, but also technical assistance to meet those requirements. We're actively in discussions with DEP about finding ways to provide that technical assistance, but it's also one of the reasons why we need one of those positions that we're going to request to be a stormwater engineer, so that we can do a lot of this work in-house and take that burden off of those municipalities. Let's see, what else are we doing here? I made a presentation to the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority this week on our warehouse guidelines, trying to make sure that when they do their freight mobility plans that they take into account the challenges that Highlands municipalities are facing and the things that we have to look at, like locating any warehouse facilities close to existing infrastructure, close to interstate highway interchanges, and making sure that they are cognizant of the impact of large amounts of impervious coverage on the watersheds of the region. I presented them a map showing them the non-impacted watersheds and the impacted watersheds, and emphasized how important it is from our perspective to make sure that there are no more watersheds that fall into the impacted state, and that we retain as many of the non-impacted watersheds as possible. On Tuesday night, I'll be making a presentation to the Musconetcom Watershed Association on the activities that we're pursuing and our policy objectives here at the Highlands. I'm looking forward to that. Next Friday, I'll be making a similar presentation that I made to the North Jersey Transportation Planning Association. I'll be making that presentation to the New Jersey Appraisal Institute, who are also very concerned with the direction of warehousing in the state as a whole, but warehousing in the Highlands in particular. We've just finished up the HAB project. Kelly and her team are you doing the last one? Kelly, one
last
more?
Last one is next week.
Next week will be the last field work that they're going to conduct. We were very happy to be able to have our staff out doing on-the-ground science. I look forward to the next opportunity to do that. One of the things that we would like to do is to work with the city of Newark to take a look at the health of their watershed. In particular, they had a very large forest fire just this past spring, and we'd like to look at regeneration of the forest following that fire. We think it would be very instructional on the health of Highlands forests overall. We have a presence coming up at the Sussex County Honey and Garlic Festival this weekend. We'll be hosting a table there. Carol, our communications manager, will be there along with Mary Jude and Kelly. We'll also be hosting a table at the League of Municipalities next month. Encourage everyone to stop by and talk to us about any issues you may have with what we're doing. As always, I'm making a request to the governor's office for both that budget increase and to make sure that they pay attention to our need for open space funding to fund the Highlands Open Space program. I will be attending the Highlands Conservation Act federal Highlands programs summit next month. We are the only state of the four-state region that does not have a dedicated source of funding to match the federal funds, and annually we're leaving an awful lot of money on the table by not having that dedicated source for us. I also will renew my request for them to make the appointments to fill out the membership of our council. In your package, you'll see a letter from Scott Heck, the administrator in Ringwood Borough, regarding watershed moratorium aid. Several of the council members, I think, would like to address this matter later on in the meeting. But it is in response to the presentation and the memo that you were provided back several months ago that highlighted that there are municipalities within the Highlands that have watershed lands, Ringwood being one of them, that are not receiving watershed moratorium aid, even though that land has been taken off the books for future development. The whole watershed moratorium aid program was designed to assist municipalities just like this, and you can make whatever recommendations or take whatever action you feel fit. Finally, I just would like to again make sure that I thank the members of this council again for the hard work that you've put in, and to recognize that you saw just today just a little bit of the hard work that the staff is putting in on a lot of important policy areas that have never been addressed by the Highlands, agriculture being one of them. And the work that they're putting in and the effort that they're putting in really needs to be recognized, because for the good of the region going forward. That's it.
Thank you, Ben. So we have old and new business now, and I guess we should start with what Ben was just talking about as far as the Watershed Moratorium Act.
Pardon me, Carl. I'm going to step on, but I will call and be available without my wife.
Enjoy yourself.
I'm not going to a concert.
You have your tie-dye t-shirt on.
Yeah, it's in the truck.
Straighten your tie. And,
Chair,
yes.
Do you mind if I address this?
Yes, please.
Ringwood?
You know, it's one of our towns. It bothers me that they're not part of this reimbursement, this aid. There's 4,784 acres of watershed lands as in your report here, and that for the town would equal 224,848 in aid, which for a town like Ringwood, which really doesn't have the ability to construct anything anywhere or increase their ratables, this is critical to that town's survival and you know, being able to function as a town in the areas that they need to function. So I would request that we pass a resolution looking into this, supporting this, first of all, supporting this application, and trying to find out if we can influence the state in creating this funding source for at least the township of Ringwood and anybody else who meets the criteria.
Okay. And anyone else like to address this? Council member?
Back in July, we received a memo on this issue, and they mentioned the Highlands Municipal Property Tax Stabilization Board that has no members. Would it help if we...
Let me just stop you there and let you know that I was vice chair of the Tax Stabilization Board. And when Governor Christie became the governor, he took all the money out of that fund. So that's when it ended.
Would it help if we had a resolution to bring this back?
Well,
would it be a separate resolution
to reform
this board, that they could make the decisions that would...
I think this is really separate from the Tax Stabilization Board. This is direct funds to the town. The Tax Stabilization Board was established where towns could come before this board and present that there was some loss in their ratables because of the Highlands Act. Okay, I think that's long past. But what this is so good is that the towns get this annually, and I will tell you that where I live in West Milford, which is 18,000 acres of watershed land, West Milford, I guess for the last 20 years or so, has received $752,000 every year. So I can't understand what happened around 20 years ago that Ringwood in Wanacue, I think Ringwood is probably the second most land as far as in the preservation area.
Vernon has more.
Vernon, of course, but Vernon does receive funds. Why Wanacue and Ringwood were left out? And that's what we're addressing here. So I'm sorry.
It's convoluted that Ringwood, Wanacue are protecting the watersheds.
Yeah.
And for the customers that are receiving the water, that are getting cheaper prices on their water at the cost of Ringwood's not receiving taxes.
To me, this was an oversight 20 years ago, and it was an oversight of the towns that didn't get it. They should have really pushed at that time. I don't think that they did. I'm not so sure that they really understood what this was all about. But West Milford, as I said, received $752,000 every year, and no one talks about it because they don't want people to know that they're getting this amount of money from the state, and fearing that it could be cut. So, any other discussion? Yeah, they know now. Everybody, it's public knowledge.
Is there any chance it could be retroactive?
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Do we have a formal motion?
No, wait, let's just...
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that we should have... Well, they don't have a formal motion. Let's continue the discussion, but then we'll have the formal motion.
Yeah. So, in terms of the watershed moratorium aid, my understanding is that this applied to lands that were affected by the watershed moratorium, which would not include, for instance, state parks and state forests, because they're not owned by a water utility. It would affect lands that are owned, for instance, by, I suspect, North Jersey District Water Supply Commission and so on. So I don't know if that acreage that we're talking about is just the water utility oriented lands and not other lands that are preserved within Ringwood Borough. In general, though, I do agree that looking into this issue and seeing what's going on makes a lot of sense, because all towns should be treated the same way with regard to the watershed moratorium.
Good. Those other lands that are mentioned, aren't they covered by the pilot in lieu of taxes, the federal and state lands?
So the Green Acres Payment in Lieu of Taxes program would incorporate those lands. Yes.
They are, and Dan, just so you know, we had our GIS team run the watershed acres, and create the land that was owned by the utilities in the Highlands towns. So that number does represent, this is North Jersey Water Supply Land that's in Ringwood, also in Wanacue, and there is also Hardyston was the third substantial land, municipality with watershed lands. There were 15 Highlands municipalities that had watershed lands that were not receiving watershed moratorium aid. For the vast majority of them, it was, I don't want to make it anything insignificant to a municipal budget, but the amounts that they would be entitled to would be small. The three most biggest land towns were Wanacue, Ringwood number one, Wanacue number two, Hardyston number three. The amounts that they would receive, if I remember correctly, would range somewhere between about $75,000 a year for Hardyston, up to $220,000 a year for.
So then the other question I would have is, are there non-Highlands municipalities that were also affected by the watershed moratorium and also are not getting aid where we could make common cause?
We may be able to. There are non-Highlands municipalities that are getting watershed moratorium aid. That money is actually paid out of the Highlands Protection Fund right now. So the money that comes out that was from a fund that was created by the Highlands Act is actually going, it's funding a program that was in existence before the Highlands Act that incorporated some non-Highlands towns as far away as Alloway Township in Salem County.
Question.
Thank you.
What would be the process? We pass a resolution. Does this go to the legislature, to the governor? Who would?
I don't know, Richard. If you wish to task us with investigating this, we'll take that on and we'll figure that out.
I think we should concentrate on this, in all fairness to these municipalities.
All right. We do have our chief counsel, chief counsel is Gabrielle, has come up with a resolution.
So I think the motion would be a motion to investigate. It would require, obviously, a motion and a second and majority vote. And then we could investigate what type of resolution we would need to bring before the council to have you vote on. So
this is a motion
to investigate watershed moratorium.
All right, moved by Council Member James. We need a second. Second by Council Member Bowden. Any other further discussion on this motion? Seeing none, please poll.
Council Member Alstead?
Yeah.
Council Member Dougherty? Council Member Dressler?
Yes.
Council Member Francis?
Yes.
Council Member Holtaway?
Aye.
Council Member James?
Yes.
Council Member Sepetich?
Yes.
Council Member Van Abs?
Yes.
Council Member Vizioli?
Yes.
Council Member Bowden?
Yes.
And Chairman Michiko?
Yes. All right, so the motion passes, and then we'll hear from the staff in the next couple of months after they investigate. All right, and anything else under old business? All right, how about anything under new business? Council Member Holtaway.
Mr. Chairman, my days here at the Highlands Council are drawing to a close. Carl and I were appointed in December 2009. I filled an unexpired term which expired in 2012. And like most of you, I have filled an unexpired term. And like most of you, I have been a holdover since 2012. I'd like to think my survivability is due to my skill and acumen, but I fully realize the governor's office has had us on low priority for all these years. I have found the staff a pleasure to work with for all of my 14 years here. And I thank them for tolerating my management style without complaint. At least no complaints to my face.
There were times in the past when we had controversial issues and applications, and the handling of them did not define our proudest moments. There were times voices were raised, and the public got to see our ugly underbelly. Luckily, we have gotten past those days. I'm on my third governor, fifth executive director, fourth chairman, and only one vice chairman. As I look back over my 14 years, I'm of the opinion that the current leadership and staff are the strongest and most productive, which bodes well for the council's future success. My resignation will be effective December 15th, 2023, unless I'm replaced prior, of course. As the new members probably will not be on board by then, that date will allow me to assist in providing a quorum at the December meeting if needed. Thank you, everybody. It's been a pleasure.
I asked for old and new business. I didn't ask for sad business. Bob, you and I spoke the other night on the phone, and we were 14 years ago at the same meeting we were appointed. Oh, and now the governor is calling you.
We need Thomas.
No. We spoke the other night on the phone, and I'm just going to say one thing because I'm going to save my goodbyes to the last meeting, to December 14th. But having served with you 14 years has been absolutely a pleasure, and I know that you'll be going down to North Carolina where your whole family is, and I'm looking forward to a nice retirement, not only from your job, but also from public service, unless you get involved down there in North Carolina. But you put in so many years on the council here, you put in so many years as mayor of your town, and I'm sure you were involved with a lot of committees and in your town and in the county. So all I can say now is thank you, but I'm going to save a lot of other things for the last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else like to say anything at this point? Or no? Okay.
I'm going to call Lieutenant Governor because, she used to be on this, this board, and I'm good friends with her, so you're not going to be able to retire.
Better to talk about replacements. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, no, I plan on doing that, actually.
It's 14 years, and I think that Jim Vizioli was either the month before or a month after that we were appointed, so 14 years for the three. And we don't look a day older.
You better put your glasses on.
Yeah, we have to come up with some old pictures then to see. All right, well, we'll address that again on December meeting. So, anybody else have anything for older new business?
Mr. Chairman, just one thing is I want to echo what Kurt Alstead said before. The notion of the Covanta facility going from something that destroys matter to something that creates value, I think is a wonderful project. I'm really looking forward to that coming to fruition.
Great. Okay, we go on to public comment. Would anyone like to address the council at this time? I'll just remind you that we do limit the discussion to 3 minutes. All right, who would like to address the council at this time? Gentleman sitting in the back. Now just state your name for the record.
I'm Brian Kirkpatrick. I'm the past president of the New Jersey chapter of the Wildlife Society. I am here today to express our support of active forest management. The Wildlife Society is a network of 11,000 leaders in wildlife science management and conservation. We're dedicated to wildlife stewardship. The Northeast chapter and as well as the New Jersey chapter are in favor of sustainable forest management, which ultimately supports biodiversity and other ecosystem services. Throughout the Northeastern United States, urban development and natural succession have created an underrepresentation of both early succession forest and late succession forested areas, with the predominance of the forested area both in New Jersey and in throughout the Northeast being between 40 and 100 years old. See, I'm at 2 minutes already, so I'll get to the point. Forest management restrictions that would inhibit a landowner's ability to manage forest, cut timber, etc., would be inconsistent with the goals of the council. It would be inconsistent with the goals of the state's carbon sequestration goals, and would result in a decrease in diversity of wildlife, decrease in water quality and water quantity. Buffers, for example, around waters, around vernal pools, would wind up occupying about 67% of the Highlands area and 83% of the total forested area in the Highlands. As I heard you mention earlier, you're considering forest management practices. I would strongly suggest that any forest management practices that make it harder for a landowner or a land management agency to manage the timber for wildlife and a mosaic of forest habitats is really incompatible with your goals. And with that, I'd leave if you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Brian. Anyone else like to address the council? Hank?
Go ahead.
Okay. You go. Hank likes to be last. Sum up everything.
Before you start the clock, I just wanted to set a stage here. I think that what Brian was referring to was your circulation of what are called draft BMPs, best management practices for forestry, which has been sort of circulating around the community in a subterranean manner for the past month. And so people may be making comments about forestry. It's not because they woke up in the morning today and thought about forestry. It's because those BMPs were circulated and people are reacting to them. That's it?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so all of you know. Okay, I'm Rich Kelski. I'm the Vice President of the New Jersey Forestry Association. On October 16th, you received our letter objecting to the draft BMPs, which effectively preclude all forest management in the Highlands. Science and practice have proven that active forest management makes forests more resilient, sustainable, and functional, and that failing to manage forests causes overstocking, closed canopies, non-resilient species, invasive plants, insect diseases, deer overpopulation, susceptibility to storm damage, loss of animal and bird habitats, and increased fire risk. So I ask you, which ones are you in favor of? It is our opinion that the BMPs will virtually eliminate all forest management in the Highlands. Two, the BMPs force forest and farm landowners into non-compliance with the Farmland Assessment Act for failure to follow state-required and approved woodland management and stewardship plans and meet any associated income requirements, thereby subjecting them to rollback taxes and other costs and expenses. I remind you that farmland assessment is not just a regulation, it's in the Constitution of the state of New Jersey. The BMPs constitute a taking without just compensation, as they prohibit economically viable use of privately owned land and render such land valueless. The BMPs ignore and prohibit proven, accepted, science-based, responsible forest management and stewardship practices, which improve forest resiliency and sustainability and fulfill a full range of goals. The BMPs force landowners to conduct affirmative deer management, including hunting, culling, and killing of deer, and the attendant risks, liabilities, and expense, since fencing for passive deer management is cost and maintenance prohibitive. The BMPs conflict with and prevent the exercise of the express exemptions and available waivers under the Highlands Act, including but not limited to those for forestry activities under state-approved woodland management and stewardship plans. The BMPs exceed the Council's authority under the Highlands Act and conflict with ongoing oversight and regulation of New Jersey's forests by the New Jersey Forest Service. They conflict with the Farmland Assessment Act and the state constitution. They conflict with generally accepted and existing best management practices in forest management. And they conflict with proposed legislation regarding New Jersey's public forests based upon the report of the Forest Task Force. We're also perplexed and dismayed by the limited circulation of those BMPs to the exclusion of many professionals and organizations generally recognized for their science-based forest and wetland expertise and important stakeholder interests. In closing, We respectfully request that the Highlands Council members commence a review of the authority for the issuance of the BMPs, the BMP development process, the BMPs themselves, the BMP review and comment process, all submitted comments, and the contents of our letter, which we circulated for your reading. We urge you to halt this BMP process before irreversible impacts are inflicted on our forest, our water supply, and the farmers and forest landowners of the Highlands region who are being denied their rights under the state constitution and regulation, and whose property is being taken without just compensation.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Council member,
well, why don't we, should we wait?
Okay.
Yeah, let's wait to see if there's any more comments from the public. Yes.
I'm John Regallo. I'm here tonight. Represent New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. 3 minutes is nowhere near enough. That guy did a pretty good job, though. yes. To address what I have only heard secondhand, I haven't even seen a draft copy. For those of you that don't know me, I went to Cook College, Rutgers University, when they actually taught natural resources management in this state. They no longer do. They teach environmental studies. Difference between pure and applied science. Applied science is actually how you formulate management decisions based on the best science you have. A lot of my friends, colleagues work for the state of New Jersey. They're not allowed to come here and talk. In particular, members of the Division of Fish and Wildlife. I'm going to read, and I got to put my glasses on, I got a little trouble with my left eye. It says their mission, and this is in every hunting and trapping digest, public knowledge, to protect and manage the state's fish and wildlife to maximize their long-term biological, recreational, and economic value for all New Jerseyans. The very next one down, their goals, to maintain New Jersey's rich variety of fish and wildlife species at stable, healthy levels, and to protect and enhance the many habitats on which they depend. Directly from our threatened and endangered species biologist, 90% of our threatened and endangered wildlife species either rely on heavily or benefit greatly from the young forest. Young forest currently in New Jersey represents 3%, and that number's shrinking every year of our forests. Their work at Sparta Mountain is nowhere near enough to provide the habitat we need. Many of these species would not be on the threatened and endangered list if we actually had healthy, multiple-aged, diverse forests, not basically a single-age forest. I can't even get into that topic right now. We could go on a long time. The other thing that I find amusing, there's a lot of bottled spring water. Now here we're in the Highlands and we're protecting water quality. Bottled spring water comes to this state from neighboring states because apparently they got better water. And in those states, active forest management is a way of life. It is a common practice and is not overregulated. I'll let that thought go and I'll be submitting written comment. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anyone else like to address the council?
Thanks for giving me a few minutes. My name is Andy Bennett. I'm a consulting forester in northern New Jersey. Along with the other members of my company at Ridge and Valley Forest Management, we serve more than 850 landowners who collectively own more than 40,000 acres. Within the Highlands region alone, that number is around 350 landowners covering nearly 20,000 acres. We draft between 40 and 50 forest management plans in the Highlands region each year. I'm an approved consulting forester with the DEP, recognized as a technical service provider by the USDA. I have my commercial pesticide applicator's license in New Jersey. I'm an active member of the Society of American Foresters. I'm a director with the New Jersey Forestry Association. I'm a second generation consulting forester, as my father before me cared for some of these same lands in North Jersey for more than 35 years. My family owns nearly 500 acres within the Highlands region. Finally, I also had the opportunity to recently serve as a co-chair on Senator Bob Smith's Forest Task Force. I don't rattle off these details to impress you. I am not impressive. I have many colleagues who have far more experience in schooling than me. But I mention all this to say there are many reasons that I'm invested in the forests of New Jersey, specifically the forests of the Highlands region. Nearly every day I'm out in the field interacting with landowners and their forests, helping them faithfully and responsibly steward their natural resources. Back in early July, I met with Director Spinelli and members of his team. It was communicated to me that they were working on some recommendations that would support the current BMPs. Director Spinelli informed me that they had no authority to do this, but nonetheless thought it was a good idea. We had a pleasant conversation around planning and executing forestry projects. Early September, I received a copy of the draft BMP document that the staff put together and was asked to make comments. As I read the document, it became very apparent to me that this was not going to be an exercise that revolved around science and experience and actual facts, but rather another political hijacking of natural resource management. This document looks like something you cut and pasted off the Highlands Coalition website. Well-established and experienced natural resource managers are being ignored, even though they're the exact people who understand the ecology of our forests and the effects, both positive and negative, forest stewardship can have on the many characteristics of the forest, including water quality. I'm disappointed that I spent more than an hour with your staff in person, in addition to the hours reviewing the document and making comments, thinking that my comments were being received and considered. Unfortunately, those with the loudest voices and the least experience and expertise apparently carry more weight than actual boots-on-the-ground conservationists. The vast body of science does not support the suggested BMPs that I reviewed. It's not even debatable. Instead of encouraging good stewardship, these BMPs are written to restrict forestry, which is not consistent with the Highlands Act, nor the technical reports, nor the Highland rules. I would ask the council, what is your goal with these BMPs? That's what I asked the staff. If your goal with the BMPs is to stop active stewardship in Highlands Region Forest, you are well on your way with these BMPs. If, however, your goal is to promote the responsible care and shepherding of Highlands Region Forest, promoting resiliency, biodiversity, adaptation, and rooting your decisions in science and experience, this document should be completely scrapped. It's that bad. In closing, here's my recommendation to the council.
Andy, your time is up.
Okay,
please
I'll finish.
Conclude. Go ahead.
In closing, here's my recommendation. Stay in your lane, know your limitations, focus on what you have the expertise to handle. Leave the BMPs up to the DEP. The BMP manual may date back to 1995, but at least it's rooted in real science. Additionally, it's in alignment with recommendations in all of our neighboring states. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Anyone else like to address the council at this time? Hank. What's your thoughts on forestry?
It'll take more than 3 minutes. We've been dealing with forestry for our whole life. But I got to give credit to these two gentlemen that here spoke up today. That very, very good. Excellent. Because if you go back, wait a minute, don't turn that on. No, wait, you asked me a question.
Okay, I'll give you a little time I gave the other gentleman. Go ahead, real quickly.
Do you want me to answer it?
Go ahead.
The Forestry Association, before the Highlands, freebie gave you the forestry program to work off of. But it wasn't good enough for the Highlands Council. They paid to have somebody else do it, which is, okay. These gentlemen are bringing it up. It is what it is.
All right, thank you. We need to start. Okay.
I sit here and I'm astonished. I'm sorry to hear my good friend over here is going to retire, but God bless you, my friend. But, you know, I'm just jogged down a piece of paper. I'm a farmer, all right, third farmer at that. And, you know, I also have proxies for 80-some farmers that are looking for their fair share of monies that the Act has taken away. And that, for you people, is equity. Now, Ben, I wish him the best. I think he's done a great job. And he knows, he understands. But the emphasis on this council is more for grant and grant money. I counted $5 million today. Now, where is the equity for the farm? It's as simple as that. We're the people that's taking the brunt of this. You people are telling us what we can do and can't do on our own land, whether it's vernal pools or whatever it is. But it's not right, it's not fair, and it's been almost 20 years. And, you know, if you think about it, if it wasn't for the farmers keeping, like my dad before me, keeping the land going, you wouldn't have it. I mean, we must have did something good. I mean, even, you know, there was a thing there where you could have sold, we could have papered our farm with quotes, and, but we didn't want to. But that was our mistake, because we're the ones that are suffering now, because you can't get equity. You go to the bank and say you're in the Highlands, they don't even want to talk to you. So, Ben, I wish you got another year. You got a raise, both of you young ladies. I'm one young lady, I'm sorry.
You are poor.
We need your help. We need your help. You didn't get nothing.
I'm not a young lady and I didn't get a raise. So.
No, but we need your help. I mean, come on. I mean, look what you got here, dude. $5 million. You know, and not a penny for landowners. Not a penny for the last 20 years. Nothing. Come on. You wouldn't, council wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this. I mean, you got to have a heart someplace. I thank you, and listen, have a happy Thanksgiving, and don't eat too much candy on Halloween.
Same to you. Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Seeing none, I just would like to say that this was Karen's debut. Sitting in the seat there, and she did a wonderful job.
We got a lot of information in a short period of time. I was wondering if we could ask the speakers to submit their comments in writing so that we can digest them later and really understand what they said.
We can, and we have asked for their written comments to what we've been engaged in. We actually met with some of these people, including Mr. Bennett.
These people got the science.
I mean,
they've been doing this all their lives.
That's why we met with them. And we don't even have a draft document yet. We're trying to put together something that would be appropriate to release for public comment. When we have that document available, we're going to make a presentation to the council so you'll be able to see. And there will be a public comment period where that draft document can be amended based upon that public comment. And what we're trying to do is put something together that at least we could present and that is based in science and is based in rational practice.
So we present it and then we get public input.
Correct.
But we're in the preliminary, we're getting to the end of the preliminary stage that we've undertaken. When we have something to present, we will.
Councilmember Van Apps.
I don't know how it's been over the years, but I would suggest that bringing this through committee would be a good step rather than going to the full council all at once. So I would recommend that.
And it will.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, I got one question. Is it Forrest? Problem broke?
We're going to adjourn.
Is it broke?
And you can speak to Ben after the meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
We need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. And all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.